Assalamu alaikum, non-believers, and you are listening to the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
God damn it, we're still gonna get called by the U.S. government.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world.
Very racist Northeastern friend Brian just said... Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 149 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel
You're
podcast.
Just mad because you can't say assalamu alaikum without tripping over your own tongue.
Yeah, you
no,
know what? This
you
is coming.
Say
this
it.
Is,
it just comes out, you know, south of the border-ish.
Pretty much. You know, this is coming from
Pardon?
The guy who gave up on his team with barely a half to go. So I wouldn't talk.
You still plot a victory.
How dare you doubt the great Tom Brady? How dare you? Really? How dare you doubt the great Tom
I wasn't
Brady.
Doubting Tom Brady. I was just putting way too much faith in Denver actually completing their, you know, decent season. So,
whatever.
That'll be the last time I make that mistake.
Whatever. Anyways, this isn't the football podcast, although I would like to do one with Brian one day.
You'd like to do what with Brian one day?
Play football.
Oh, is that what we're calling
center.
It now?
Anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, that is comics, animation, films, video games, because I want to play Marvel Lego Super Heroes because that game looks like so much fun. It's ridiculous. And yeah, so here we go. So let me ask you guys something as we get into the news.
You didn't introduce any of us?
Let me ask you guys something as I introduce the panel. How are y'all doing tonight? Taser, you first.
I'll have me some pizza. Awesome.
Joining us from the city of Oklahoma, who destroyed the Baylor Bears' hope for BCS national title hopes.
You mean Thank Oklahoma you. City?
Oklahoma State.
Stillwater.
Stillwater.
State of Oklahoma, Stillwater.
Yeah, which is right next door. Norman, Oklahoma. Literally right next door. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
no offense, but that sounds like a place in Oklahoma. Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Well, okay.
But again, Gamer, thank you for the Cowboys who fucking ruined the BCS title chances of the Baylor Bears. Thank you so fucking much.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
How you doing, Gamer? You doing all right?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm digesting some Taco Bell as we speak, so I will hopefully be able to go through the entire...
Under the waterman, CSA.
No self-respecting Mexican needs a Taco Bell.
Well, I'm as white as you can get, so I'm neither self-respecting or Mexican, so I'm
do
good.
Do Mexicans live in Oklahoma? I'm pretty sure
Native Americans do.
Native Americans,
sort of brown
people. Mexicans, and pretty much anybody, Japanese, Vietnamese, you know.
I think this isn't...
Guys,
this is,
we are ramping up to something way more racist than my intro, so can we...
You know what, honestly, I think if I was walking through the streets of Norman, Oklahoma or Stillwater, and I saw a Japanese man, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here?
It is not in any water, so you kind of got to wonder about that.
Right.
And they can't go hunting for, like, dolphins or nothing.
Ooh. God,
topic.
That's, wow. We are getting in trouble. All we need to do is piss off women and we'll be good. And Taser.
If y'all got some chicken in there, you know you'll find blacks. Ooh.
Oh. I was going to say, do you like Fruit Punch or Dr. Pepper or Sprite?
I like grape soda. Yeah.
Sprite grape, that's a constant seller among certain
Jesus
people in Stillwater.
All
okay.
right,
so
here we go.
Lawsuits.
God damn it. Okay.
Does the chicken have biscuits?
Pushing through. Brian, how are you doing tonight, my racist Northeastern buddy?
Oh, so good. Although I'm waiting for Taser to take me on another romantic date, but he's stalled.
Hey, look here.
As he motivated feelings for me, okay?
You cheated on me with IG, you beast!
I
you
did
master!
Come on, baby. I love you. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Please, baby. Don't leave me. Please.
No!
This turned from racist to soap opera drama in the projects. So fast.
I Taser throwing shit out the window. Just
my soul has been rent asunder.
All right, so speaking of racism, and obviously, guys, we live in a society where anything you say can or will be perceived as racist, whether it's staring at a black man too long or letting a white man take something.
Whoa, why's it got to be a black man? Why can't it be an Asian man, huh?
Because Asians, like, hack shit more. God damn it, here we go.
See? Look what you did! Look what you did now!
Okay.
Look what Sam Price is saying.
I don't... A combination of both. Anyways, so last week, Taser reviewed the latest issue of Captain Marvel, and in that, we had a sneak preview, right, of the new Ms. Marvel coming out.
A very sneak preview.
A very sneak preview. And so, basically... Kamala Khan, that is her name, will be the new Ms. Marvel starting in January of next year, which is 2 months away.
Kamala, was she a Ugandan headhunter?
I don't
know.
Oh, wow. We are going to get so many lawsuits.
Good thing we're not, like, in the 100,000s of subscribers. I don't even know when the last check.
We got 3. Did that reply?
Hell yeah!
We love you guys, and fan turned pro. Okay, so needless to say, anything to do and with the word Muslim or Islam or Middle Eastern, for some reason, just drives controversy because apparently every single person from the Middle East or descendant of the Middle East is a terrorist, and they shall not be forgiven. Actually, it comes out in February of 2013. I apologize. She is from Pakistan, and she's following Carol Danvers, who is now Captain Marvel. So we don't know a lot about the series. We don't know her origins. I think she's a shapeshifter, right, in terms of her power set?
I saw her sprout muscles. That's about it.
Okay. But we don't know much about her. Let's just go with that.
So she's pulling a Teddy Altman.
Who?
Hulkling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that guy. Yeah, I don't... Okay, sidetrack. I really don't like Young Avengers' story all that much.
Fair enough, but if she turns out to be like half Kree, half Skrull, heads are going to roll for the uncreative manner in which they introduced a Muslim into the Marvel proper. I am talking rip shit, my friends. I will get Arnold, and we will go prideful all over your asses.
He's going to go Deadpool! Watch out, people! Watch out!
Oh, yeah. He's going to say horribly bad puns while trying to hit somebody?
Damn straight. That's my go-to move.
Okay, so... And the internet blew into flame as usual. But what I don't understand is, I think it's great. I've been on record in previous shows saying I love female characters. I prefer female characters over male characters, not simply because of the boobage, because they're sometimes much more interesting. So, what I don't understand is, why was this a big deal? Even though we're kind of making a baby here because we're hypocrites, but whatever. This to me should not be a big deal. This should have been just to men. Ms. Marvel, number one new character. And not the fact that she was Muslim. And I know it's probably not Marvel's fault, it's probably CBR and all these other news sites, but like, to me, if we as a society, and this is where I get political, are going to move forward in saying that race does not matter, race is not a factor, then whenever something newsworthy comes out and it's done by an individual or a new thing is created, the race should not matter. If Taser, a black man, does something, he should be... a Nubian, because I like that word, does something. It's just a Taser, exit, da-da-da-da. No mention that he's a Nubian. He's just a man.
What's a Nubian?
And I understand, and to me, when you, at least to me, and this could be completely wrong, and I'm pretty sure G. Willow Wilson, the writer for the book, when it comes out, that it gives us expectation that we're going to get a look into the culture that is Muslim society or Middle Eastern society. And that to me said, like, to me, race shouldn't be what the character's all about. It should be an aspect and should not be ignored, but it should not be the central focal point. And I'm not saying that the book's going to be about, but it gives this expectation when you announce Muslim Ms. Marvel. Because that, whether you like it or not, that word has a lot of implications into it. So what I'm saying is this. it should not be a big deal that A, it's a woman, B, it's a Muslim. It should be that it's a brand new character into the Marvel Universe following the footsteps of one of Taser and I think you can say one of our favorites characters in Carol.
Yeah.
One of our favorite characters in Carol Danvers, and her expectations to hold up the stand up to the mantle that it that Carol set before. Drunken alcohol in this society. So that's just my thing. That I wish it wasn't a big deal. So Taser, you obviously have a lot more experience with race than I do. You've probably seen more than I have.
Haven't had to run from the cops more so than you have. Haven't had the cops visit my house because, hey, look, I'm just sitting here on my fire escape. Whose fire escape is that? Yeah, that actually happened to me. Yeah. I was just sitting there.
Okay, so what are your thoughts of the sort of press that made it that it's Muslim, that she's Muslim, and or just general thoughts about a new Miss Marvel altogether?
The fact that she's a Muslim, it is new because, it's not unexpected. Let's be real here. Even in today's society, when it comes to most heroistic debuts and what we see coming down the pike, it's still, you know, mostly Caucasian, you know. And I don't want to haul anybody to task for it. It's just that's kind of the way things are. And let's be real here. I'll be honest. If I was writing a comic book, it would be a whole lot more African-Americans that would, you know, end up with abilities. And I think that's just because, you know, we tend to work with what we know and what we see and what we like. You know, we have to consciously step away from that mental groove and do something different. You know, take a look out there and see how the societal dynamic has changed. That she's a woman is also something else, because I'll be perfectly honest, I would have figured, okay, yeah, if, you know, Muslim, it would be a guy. You know, because I'm surprised that Carol Danvers actually managed to keep the Captain Marvel title for this long. You know, I'm disappointed that, what, a year and a half into her actually having the lead title, they're kind of shifting focus elsewhere. That's like, what the hell?
Well, there's going to be there's going to be two books like that. There's Captain Marvel, and then there's
Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with, you know, of course I don't have a problem with, you know, a Muslim woman getting the Miss Marvel title. I didn't have a problem with it the first time when, slightly the first time when, what's her name with the Jerry curl hair showed
Rambo,
up back in
Monica 80s. Rambo?
Thank you. I couldn't remember her name. Yeah. When she showed up and was calling herself Captain Marvel, well, what the, oh, snap, it's her sister. Woohoo! You know? In the comics, you know, they just kind of went, oh, so you're calling yourself, okay, what the fuck ever, and, you know, just went on about business as usual. And that's how it should be done. I personally wouldn't have gone for Miss Marvel for this woman here. Not because, well, I don't want, you know, she's Muslim or whatever. I would have just given her her own identity rather than trying to tie it into Carol Danvers. You know, I think more original rather than legacy in this regard. However, I know that Marvel is still trying to take and do that big push forward with Carol as an inspiring character, especially with the comics run, and, you know, the last issue was all like, oh, we love Captain Marvel, yeah, she's awesome, and I'm Captain Marvel. They did that whole Spartacus bullshit. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm not taking a bullet for her. She can actually take a bullet. I can't do shit. But I applaud that we're getting a new character, and she's not Caucasian, and she's Muslim. Because, I mean, let's face it, in comics in general, regardless of company, how many Muslims can you name?
Simon Baz.
Oh, he doesn't count.
What do you mean he doesn't count?
Yeah. No. Let's not exclude Pete. No, he count. That's one, and he's recent. Go on.
Simon Boz. Pretty sure Image has at least one going.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to hear.
There's not a lot. You make a point, but it's
Dr. Mist, I think.
Is he Muslim?
From DC, I think Dr. Mist is.
Well, I don't even
know. You mean Dr. Fate?
No, yes, you're right. The new Dr. Fate in Earth 2 is, in fact, Middle Eastern. I don't know if he's Muslim.
Oh, see, now, I didn't even know that. But, okay, another recent character. can we get any older than that? You know what I'm saying?
It's pretty much white male characters with the occasional female.
The only one I can remember would be the Arabian Knight.
Back
in the day.
That's a
good one. Very good one. Okay. And
he has a magic carpet and flies, but you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Magic carpet.
I want to show you
let
the
slide
world.
I like the idea.
Okay. Yeah.
I was singing this song from Aladdin for whatever.
Oh,
racist. Somebody,
that movie's awesome.
Disney. No, but I'm just saying, though. You know, you really don't see a whole lot of people outside of the Caucasian and then, you know, black and then maybe, you know, speckling a couple of Hispanics and, you know, the Asian, like when the second Dr. Light showed up. I was like, holy crap, Kimiko, woo! And she ended up being an awesome character. And then they
She's ready. Also foined as hell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, just like Ming Na Wen. But I'm just saying, you don't see that kind of diversity. You know, I mean, how many Jewish ones? I had a kid named Sabra, and
Kitty
I can't
Pryde.
Think of too many Jewish ones.
Kitty Pryde.
Okay, yeah, from Israel?
No, but she's Jewish. You just said
okay,
Jewish. Well, never
said I'll give you that.
There is a distinction, my friends. You're talking about Israeli people. Okay?
Yeah, you said. Yeah, if you said Jew,
well, I
not
to say Jewish. He's right. Yeah. He's right.
Not everyone in Israel is a Jew. Just saying. Most of them are, granted, but not everyone. There are also Muslims and Christians in Israel. Just saying.
There's Christians in Israel? Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, but they're the minority, so wrap your head around that.
That's hilarious.
So then I'd be really screwed if I won't.
Yeah. You're black and you're a Christian. You're fucked. Welcome to Israel.
Yeah, really.
Enjoy your stay.
But I could enjoy the sun better than any of them there, so awesome. But I'm just saying, though, I don't – while we look at it and, you know, we can – you know, you see how it's being – pointed out and highlighted and bandied about it. Ooh, look what they're doing. Oh, I understand where you're coming from, that we shouldn't really be doing anything like that for this because it hasn't been done that often is why it's happening. And that's why we see what's being done. I think in this, you know, we'll have to accept that, you know, for what it is. And it'll always be like that when you don't see that extension towards peoples who aren't, you know, anywhere near, like, even the top minority. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just it. That's just the thing. And it'll always be there, and we will always have to deal with it until, and be perfectly honest, I don't think we'll ever be able to get rid of it because we are who we are and how we are.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I don't hate it. Because I know people will mistranslate it, like, oh, he doesn't like the idea of a female Muslim being a superhero, which is far from the truth, but it's more the fact that I wish we as a society could just get over the fact that a person is this particular race or this particular preference of sexuality and just accept them for who it is. Because she may be a bitch, for all we know, and the most unlikable person you've ever met. We don't know anything. So that's my point, is that I wish it was more about the character overall that people would focus on, and the importance should be less on race. That's
question, is she an immigrant, or was she born here, but her parents are from there?
From what
do we know?
Let me see what the article says.
It just says her family's from Pakistan.
So she's probably, like, her parents are from Pakistan, but she's an American race.
She's probably first gen off the boat.
Yeah.
Okay, because it would be, you know, I would actually be...
Does anybody
more
really take a boat ticket here anymore? Really, Brian?
It's an expression, you ass.
Yeah, if they come from Cuba. But anyway. you know, and they've converted their freaking truck. Actually, yeah, converted the truck into a motorboat, you know, which I thought was awesome. But, no, I would actually be more enthusiastic if this girl came over here from Pakistan, like, last year. And she's been so taken up with Carol Danvers that, you know, and she's got whatever ability that she has. That's why she's, you know, taking on the title Miss Marvel. That would impress me rather than her, you know, kind of being the, you know, first gen here. So, yeah, she's actually an American. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're...
Yeah, you know, she's actually an immigrant. But, you know, this woman has impressed her that much that blah, blah, blah. Now, whether they start doing any of the political stuff, you know, where, yeah, but, you know, America this, that, the other thing, and, but, you know, they bombed my village and the goat got killed or whatever.
Wow, okay.
I'm not as an example because a lot of people in that region of the planet have goats. What? They use them for milk. They use them for food. There's nothing wrong with that. We do it with cow.
I would love to have a goat because they fucking mow your lawn.
They eat cans, so I can leave goats alone. I'm just saying, it would be more interesting to me if she actually is an immigrant and kind of it plays out like that. She's not, you know, dyed in the wool, haven't been here from birth, and so she's, yeah, eating freaking cheeseburgers and, you know, the MTV and everything else like that. But she's actually of a different culture. But here, she's impressed with Carol Danvers and she's taking up the title. That I would like.
Okay.
I don't think we'll get it, though.
We'll see. We'll have to see.
Yeah, fair enough. And, fair enough.
Because she could be from, like, those, like, you know, maybe not super hardcore, but the ones, the Muslim families who put their values on them before American society, you know?
Oh, that means that she, you know, won't be looking at me. I can't touch none of them.
But that could be the conflict where, like, her, I don't fucking know. That, I'm not.
You know what? That could be an interesting, character development too, you know, her accepting this white devil or whatever they call,
what they call Brian's people.
No, and John's. No, but yeah, that could be an interesting thing. I don't know how much of that I would want to see because, you know, me, I don't care about a whole lot of backstory. I'd rather see her pick shit up and break people with it. But that would be interesting.
Okay. So, B-Rai, you're racist. What do you think?
Why am I the effing racist? Because I had to say the thing that you wanted to say I have said, but you couldn't say it? Is that what this is?
You have no proof that I wanted to say such things, and that is slander, and I will take you to the court of law with my Jewish lawyer, and we will win. Anyways, continue what you were going to say.
sort of building off of what Taser said, I think he's right. And I think it's only thrust into the spotlight in such a way when you force it there. You know, I don't personally, I could care less what race anyone is unless it was something that went out of its way to tell me so or if it was just completely and totally wrong, for example, because it can be wrong. I know it's hard for you people to believe, but I actually believe that. Because, you know, who's going to go and make Wonder Woman, the woman based off of Greek culture, you know, Russian? Who's going to do that? But
the
I suppose
that
the
made Captain America.
Well, they
that
did.
Made,
it's called Superman Red Sun.
Red Skull Italian. There you go.
Wow, only took you guys like 10 seconds.
Can I please read?
I thought was that a Red Sun reference? I don't fucking know.
Anyway, you know, to me, I could care less what race she is. I'm more interested in the writing and the character development. Like Taser said, the more interesting for me would be to see her move over here and, like, she was raised over there, and all of a sudden it's the culture shock that hits her. The culture shock of American culture and trying to balance being a hero with sort of what she thinks is right or wrong in these, you know, sort of if she's raised traditionally, what her beliefs are. Of course, that raises the question of if she's in the middle of a fight and it's time to pray, does she stop fighting and pray, or does she wait until after the fight to pray?
That's where the conflict comes in.
These are the questions, you know? But that being said, I wholeheartedly believe just the culture shock and her... That whole thing Taser sort of went about saying is definitely something I would be much more interested in reading than just like, oh, she's just a typical girl with brown skin doing superhero things because, you know, fuck the system. But at the same time, you're just making her the same as everybody else. You're just giving her a different skin tone. So really, where was the merit in that idea? Hmm. That having been said, I'll check out the first issue anyway. It never hurts to check out the first issue. And like I said, the character is good. You know, if I don't pick it up beyond that point, it's not because I'm racist, even though people will tell me it is.
You know fucking people will condemn us.
Don't read that book? It's because you're racist. You don't like that? No, it's because the book has shitty writing, because I never heard of G. Willow Wilson, whoever the hell that is. Sounds like a hundred.
You know what? I just Alba as Green Lantern? You're racist. What?
Alba can be anything, okay? He is the Meryl Streep of the male acting world. He can do anything.
What the fuck did Meryl Streep... Never mind. I'll ask about it later.
Fair enough. I'm behind this as long as the talent is there. That's what's key here. Not her race or her religious beliefs or anything like that. It's what goes into the book itself. So provided it's there, we'll see what happens.
All right. Last but not least, Gammer.
I really could care less if she's Muslim, Jewish, Sikh, you know, whatever. This whole thing for diversity... For diversity's sake, pisses me off. It's just like at the other side of the coin, you know, other side of the street, we have a, you know, Batwoman who happened to be a lesbian, and they made such a big frickin' deal about that. I was like, come on. You know, it's more about the story and the writing, as far as I'm concerned. If they happen to be black, Asian,
black,
white, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as it's a good, you know, good story, good art, you know, good art, good writing, and if they happen to be Muslim, okay, so be it. It's not that big of a deal on that part. The thing that really pisses me off is people, like you said, people just go nuts over the smallest little thing, and it's like, come on, you know? I live in Oklahoma. We have our sections of the state that are, if you walk in there, you know, walk through there and you're not of a certain type of religion or whatever, yeah, you'll get a shotgun put in your face and pretty much get your head blown off. But where I'm at, we have a whole lot of, you know, Asians, Muslims that come through the university and no one bats an eye. And, you know, it just, who cares? I mean, long as it's, you know, a good book, a good read, that's all it should matter. But no, people have got to get all high and mighty and outraged just because they have nothing better to do. You know, because, you know, there might be something important to do. They'd rather focus on this. You know, I'm not going to get political or anything like that. That's all I'm going to say on it. Because as far as I'm concerned, I saw that. I was just like, really? I'm not going to pick up the title because she's Muslim or anything else. I might pick it up is, you know, just to read it because it might be a good choice to, read. And if I don't like it, I won't like it because she's Muslim or lesbian or, you know, Kenny from South Park. I could care less. Just as long as, you know, just as long as it's just a good title. That's all that should matter. And
amen, brother.
Yeah. I gave a rat's ass.
You make her a lesbian too. I wouldn't have be opposed to that. Just saying.
It's like when
Taser, can
when,
I get a hallelujah, praise the Lord.
How you gotta go to Taser for that? How you gotta go to Taser for that?
Because
hallelujah.
Do a wasabab alaykum
alaykum salam. Because I've heard you say hallelujah, praise the Lord, and it doesn't have the power that Taser has.
The power. Abraham Lincoln. It's just like when North Star was revealed he was gay. Who gave a shit? I mean,
the gay community did.
Well, I understand that.
You're teasing a community that might read your comic book. That's all this is.
Yeah
but you know, come on, it's not like the gays were going to take and start picking up Alpha Flight. Come on, man.
It's just a way to get into the news, and that's what ultimately I would feel more offended. Anything else. But I hate people being offended because I'm offended, you're offended, I'm offended, and we're all, fuck. Well, let's just jerk each other off and be happy about it. Anyways.
Okay, see, now you're getting into Metroplex and freaking Agent Orange territory, so let's not do that.
Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, that's how I feel about
okay,
it.
Okay, so let's move on. Well, before I move on, but we're all generally interested in the title, are we? Like, curious?
Yeah. I'm interested.
Okay, because I know I'm going to be picking up regardless because it's a new female character, and I like to support new female characters, so I know I'll be checking them out.
I'm on the fence, but I'm going to check it out if I hear good things about it. I'll check it out.
Mm. Yeah, see, anyway. There you go.
All right.
And that's what's...
Yes. So with that, we go... Okay, last year the whole big hubbub was Marvel Now. Marvel Now. All the books ended, creators left, new number ones. Well, less than a year later, and we have a hint of a lot of new number ones. So we're basically going to be talking about new Marvel Now. So you remember those two X-Force titles that you love so much? Gone. Now we'll be getting X-Force number one. Nova will also be relaunched. Generation X is coming back. Wolverine's getting relaunched. Silver Surfer, obviously, we talked about that. Not mentioned is that, funny enough, I'm surprised Brian didn't pick this up, but Warren Ellis will be writing a new Moon Knight series.
Mm-hmm.
Which, really? He's not jumping for joy?
What?
Moon Knight. Do you not know about this?
What?
Yeah, Moon Knight is, yeah.
Oh, great. His erection's blocking my view now. Great.
News has come today to change my life. The news sent down from the mountains to warm my heart. Oh, God, yes.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I didn't expect
it. Victory is mine.
I didn't expect it. And also, we learned about the cancellations of Young Avengers and Wolverine and the X-Men, with Young Avengers ending in January, which I'm not going to miss because the story is kind of what the fuck is going on. And I read Grant Morrison. That's how you know I'm confused. And, of course, Wolverine the X-Men, one of, at least not recently, but it was one of my favorite X titles over the past couple of years, is ending. And I think I think New Avengers is ending. I don't remember it being put. And of course, Daredevil is concluding with issue 36 in February, but then relaunching with all new Daredevil number one, the same team. This is basically what I'm saying. And this has been apparent for about 7 years now, maybe 6, 7 years, 5 years at the earliest, is the fact that Marvel doesn't give a shit about numbering. It's a sales boost. Numbering hasn't mattered for a long time, and especially stopped mattering when DC Comics restarted everything, and they Action Comics and Detective Comics, Superman and Batman, all were renumbered back to number one. So, numbering doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you that right now, comic fanboys. It doesn't matter anymore. It hasn't mattered for years. Get over it. And from what I understand, from my context in the industry, yes, I have context in the industry, is that Marvel is looking to go more of the mini-series, epic-long series kind of thing. In fact, I talked about this on the Green Lantern Corps message board with Arnold a little bit about it looks like Marvel is going to do the Hellboy method. Now, many of you are asking, what the fuck is the Hellboy method? Well,
reads Hellboy anymore.
Well, sorry. Well, he's kind of in hell right now, so... Basically, what the Hellboy method is that if you look at any issue that's before the book ended, before they stopped publishing, well, they're still publishing, whatever, okay. If you looked at anything that said BPRD or Hellboy, you will notice it was most of them were miniseries, which basically, it would continue, but the next miniseries would continue the story beats from another one, or fill in the blanks, or tell a past story, but it was all one big gigantic thing. Now, it looks like Marvel is doing that, but on a much wider scale versus, like, say, you know, obviously Daredevil is ending in issue 36, Wolverine the X-Men's ending at issue 42, Young Avengers ending at issue 15. So it looks like they're doing that more as... Now, because we're never going to see a creator, at least at Marvel and DC, unless your name is Geoff Johns or Brian Michael Bendis. And I don't even think Bendis will stay on the X-Men books that long, considering how things are going. That these books will have a finite span, maybe 2-3 years at the most. They'll be canceled, and if people like them enough, they'll be brought back with a new number one. Which basically means, and if it's the same writer, the story continues. Hopefully. So that's what I get out of it. And to me, the number on the cover doesn't matter to me at least. I can't say for the companies. The cover number doesn't matter as long as the story is good and what I'm enjoying is good. That's all that fucking matters. Punisher has had 8, 9, 10, oh what, 10, this will be 10 number ones in terms of ongoings in the past, since in the 1980s when he got his first series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it doesn't, you know, as long as the book's good, that's all I'm saying. So, and this is, and face it, Marvel people, this is the future of Marvel. This is what they're going to do. You expect a lot of number one announcements over the next couple of years. That's what I fully expect. So let's go to the guy, the man, the myth, the legend, the most jaded person in the world, who's probably going to want to tear my head off right about now. T-Man, go for it.
There's not a whole lot I can do. I can do or say on this matter. Marvel's still trying to play that whole number one issue thing, and unfortunately, and Wes said this, and I have to agree with him. The new number one gimmick, you know, pulls in people. You know, it's like, ooh, I didn't know this was. Oh, this is a new chance for me to jump on board.
Yes.
Yes.
Did we lose Taser?
I think we did. Okay. B-Rai, give your quick thoughts on it.
Okay. Well, let's see about this then.
Taser? What were you saying?
Yeah. Taser? If you look at the bottom of like a Marvel comic, you'll probably see like volume 13 or whatever, but you'll see like issue number 500 something, you know, so they still keep the numbering. There's not a whole lot of hell I can do. I'm not enthusiastic towards any of the new stuff coming down from this, to be perfectly honest. It's a change that I don't really see as being necessary for too many books. And yeah, they're going to be shifting focus on the stories, and you know, not a lot of it sounds good. As a matter of fact, Strike is surprisingly enough, the only thing that actually sounds somewhat palatable is what they plan to do with Nova, but that's more morbid curiosity more so than anything else. The Young Avengers thing and everything else is like, I'll be lying if I didn't say I didn't pay attention, you know, or pick up an issue of at least two of them. But for the most part, yeah, I'm sitting this one out. You know, it's nothing there for me. And as a matter of fact, it's unappealing. You know, I can't even say I'm disappointed. You know, it's just tiring to see this crap get done over and over again, at least for me.
Gamma, are you going to simmer Taser's thoughts?
Yeah, I really, the words really can't describe it. I just get, I am so fucking tired of them thinking that readers have got an attention span of a gnat. You know, you get a title going good, and then you have to stop the damn thing and relaunch it just because you want to boost sales. I understand you want to make sales, but come on. You know, how many times do we need to see another fucking Fantastic Four number one, another, you know, Spider-Man, whatever. How many times has Spider-Man been introduced with the number one and they go back to the original, you know, numbering, you know, aside from just for events and stuff. And it just, I can't be disappointed. I'm just tired. When I see it, my soul hurts. And
but it's just the number, though. If the story comes, I know, if the story you're liking, it comes back, it just happens to be the number different, but the story continues. What's the difference?
Well, I think the main difference is, I guess, it's because I'm an old fogey. I like to, you know, I like seeing the number because, you know, especially if there hasn't been a clear cut reason for it, you know, to start up a brand new deal, then why in the hell do you need to do it? I mean, there is a sense of tradition, I guess, that I'm missing. And, you know, like being able to pick up, say, oh, hell yeah, Fantastic Four is at issue 900. You know, it's been going. I remember when I started, it's at issue whatever, and I've got, you know, and I've been reading this title for this long, and it's cool to see it make it to this number. But then they do this, oh, we're going to go for a couple of years, and then we're going to relaunch it, you know, and there's really no reason for it. I mean, unless they're just like, unless you're going to retcon and do a crisis of some sort to start, you know, reboot your universe, a la somebody else, and there's really no reason for it. I mean, I can understand on titles like Moon Knight, because I don't expect Moon Knight to last more than maybe 12 issues like the last one did. If Bendis couldn't, you know, sell the character, I don't know how Warren Ellis is going to. And I have
Warren,
like,
fucking Ellis. That's why.
That could also be a problem too, depending on what you've read. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I like Moon Knight. I liked it. I like the run that I saw in the early 90s. It was a good title. And all the crap I might have given Iggy about having that one issue to review that one time, I was sad to see the character actually go, because I, you know, he's one of those that if you get him done right, he's not bad to read. And same with Nova. I don't understand what the hell they're doing. Another Nova number one. Is there's people like that are my age, like, see, they couldn't even get it to go so many issues before they cancel it and do it again. And they're not going to give.
Is it technically cancellation when they're just ending it and starting it up again? Is that technically, it's cancellation? Yes, but would you say it's more of a season finale? It's like a TV show.
Well,
it's season two, episode one.
That doesn't even feel right.
I'll tell you what.
That's you, because you're used to the tradition of long numbering. Well, the format is still the same, in that the story beats are continuing. It's just the numbering doesn't stay consistent. That's the only difference.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they would do that from the get-go, where they're going to say this is going to be issue one to issue whatever to be season one, and flat out state that at the first
but
of
they
it,
don't do that because they don't want to piss off too many of you guys. That's why.
Well, but hold on.
I understand.
So you mean to tell me you don't think that pulling that shit like 2 years into the book is better? Come on.
If the story beats continue, I don't care.
Although,
ends like soundly, then that's fine too. We're not gonna see.
Let John get his points out, dude.
Okay.
I will say this. I am something like the Avengers and stuff like that. You know, the only way I could see them relaunching it was because, like you said, you had a new creative team coming on, and let's face it, what Hickman's started doing with the Avengers is so completely different from what was before. And that I can see possibly going ahead and doing. But when it's like Fantastic Four, how many fucking relaunches has that title had within the last 20 years when there really shouldn't have been any reason for it? I mean, outside of the whole Heroes Reborn, Heroes, you know, whatever thing that they did, there's really no need for it. Spider-Man has been, you know, canceled, redone, and how many times they'd go back to the original frickin' numbering and then end it again and go back to a new series. Now, like right now, you know, because you got the Superior Spider-Man thing going on, I can kind of see that. But if they're not going to if they can just flat out say, yeah, we're going to do it like Hellboy, you know, limited series after limited series, I have no problem with that. That, in fact, I'd almost prefer that, because then I know there's going to be a beginning, a middle, and an end to the story, and that gives that writer a chance to tell his story the way he wants within the confines of a certain number of issues and not have to worry about outside stuff, and I'm all for that. But when you've got stuff that's been long-standing, like, you know, the traditional titles like Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and Thor and all this, there really doesn't need to be, you know, more friggin' number ones on them. And it just, I don't know, I guess I am jaded, but it's just, and I can say I am slightly a traditionalist in them, but it just, I don't know, it just bugs the hell out of me. It's like, why do you have to stop it and then relaunch it, other than you want to boost sales, and you know the sales are going to go right back down to the previous level? It just, because you get everybody that gets a hard-on for a number one issue, then it just, I don't know. I know it's sales, and that's what runs the company and all that, but it's just, I'm like Taser. I'm just like, I just like, really? And that's about all I can say of it.
You know, not mean to cut it in, but when you're doing a new number one, like, what, every 2 years? Come on!
Yeah.
I mean, really? You know, that we're talking about... That doesn't even give a book time to work.
Two years is 24 issues. That's not
time for a lot of books. You know, some books are sleeper hits, and they take a good long time before they actually catch an audience. And most books spread through word of mouth, especially now that we have the interwebs. Okay, that, or you've got, you know, some artists who, you know, might do like one really good issue. And again, you know, the interwebs goes, it's like, yo, they're the banging new artist, son. Yo, you got to get on this kid. It's like, ooh, I got to get out there. And this person's the new hot shit. You know, fucking Jeff Johns. You know? I mean, come on. He jumped on Green Lantern, and he knocked out, I didn't want to bring in DC, but I couldn't help it in this case. He knocked out freaking Rebirth, and then it was like, oh, my God, this is the brand new, the new hotness. And... he did 1-25, you know, did Sinestro Corps War, and then he coasted for, like, what, the next 3, 5, 10 years? Well, no, I'll say the next 5 years. He coasted. Okay, 4 years.
So then would
he
you,
coasted,
so then,
though.
So then is this argument for that book should be shorter?
No, this is an argument that the re-launch is a bogus tactic that doesn't give books time to actually develop.
That all depends on
develop
the pacing
decently.
That depends on the pacing of the book.
Right, which depends on the writer and the artist.
But we don't know how long these books are going to go.
But look at how many
problem.
Titles are being affected, though. Like GJ said, freaking Fantastic Four has had, what, 3, 5 relaunches within the last 15, 17 years?
Seems like the last 4 especially. I mean, I'm not trying to be... I've lost track how many times they've said they're coming up with a brand new FF number 1.
And I don't want to...
And this is not even...
I don't want to be the person to say this, but Fantastic Four, I think, might be a paradigm that Marvel wants to keep... it might not actually be working. Kind of like how people looked at Superman. And the reason why Superman doesn't have all of the dogma that he had previously. Look at Superman now. Superman is not... well, okay, let me say this. I don't read Superman currently. Okay, I haven't touched the new 52 version, you know, for the most part at all. You know, except for one issue that somebody at work let me read. But... that guy, the guy that's Superman now, is not anything like the Byrne version, and damn sure isn't like what he was before Byrne. Nothing like him at all. And this is somebody that people like. Why? I could actually answer that, but that would take me too far off. They need to change the paradigm. I don't think trying to relaunch the book is answering the question. They need to answer the question, and the question might just be that they need to actually change that paradigm. I don't know what it is that will work, but it's certainly not the family. Marvel's First Family. Fuck that. Marvel's First Family doesn't seem to be working. They might need to do something else. You know?
And they're mm-hmm. canceling the book. And
I think Jontron's getting.
They're renumbering it. They're canceling it and bringing it back, which is just a renumbering.
Yeah,
you know?
But the tone might be different. We don't.
Do
know.
You think they're going to change the dynamic of the book?
I have no idea because I don't read Fantastic Four.
Well, that kind of tells the story now, doesn't it? Neither you nor I.
No,
read
but
that
the
X
Men. But I do know that the X Men are always going to be how people hate us. You got to stick with what the base of what the book is. Otherwise, it's not the book. But that otherwise. That's not what the book is anymore.
Well, the X-Men was really about, you know, young people with powers and how they dealt with that whole thing in society, fine. But the whole thing with Sentinels was they went from young people with powers to holy shit, we're Jews and everybody else is a German.
Okay.
You know, that's a whole other thing. All right? Paradigm shifted for them too, and it really caught on because they marketed it towards teens who... forever have felt like nobody understands me and everybody hates me and I have problems and these people kind of understand because they go through problems too. Blah. You know, big whoop. Teen Titans did that same shit, you know? You know, and that book worked because they kind of worked on that angle too. They were teens and they were doing stuff and there was no adults and woohoo, freedom. Wow. But look at what they did for what for like the longest time. There was no Sentinels in the freaking X-Men book. You know, they weren't being hunted everywhere. And then somebody decided, hey, Charles Xavier is too nice a character. Let's tear his shit down. And they fucked with Charles Xavier, and then they started fuck with everything else, and that's why you had
And that's the paradigm change, and maybe they'll do that for Fantastic Four. So, but
it is, and notice how people started liking that. So
we'll see
what
they do
with Fantastic Four.
Even though this has nothing to do with Fantastic Four, but Marvel Now, all new Marvel Now is in general.
Well, you know what they're going to do with Marvel Now with Fantastic Four? I'm saying it. Either Reed or Sue's going to have an affair. There it is. I'm saying it. They're going to cheat.
Nah,
I thought she already did.
Get their heart broken.
They won't do that.
I thought she already did with Fish Ankles anyway, so, I mean, come on.
That's implied. She wants him, but... Brian, what do you think?
Oh, is it my turn to talk now? I don't care. Renumbering, paradigm shift, whatever you want to call it. It's just, this is taking the way of jumping on points. Back when you would have a series, be like, this is the ideal jumping on point. It'd be a talent shift or a tonal shift. This is just that. I mean, granted, it takes a little while longer. Not every character makes it through, but this is all that is. It's just, it's a way to rotate talent in and out, while also still making it approachable from the consumer side for new readers, however many of those may be. That having been said, as far as consistency in the tone and sort of character development, that is something that still needs to be worked out and perfected because we've seen it kind of falter every once in a while. I mean, look, I can't think of a specific instance right now, but I know those instances exist where it's just like you read a book, then it gets canceled, then it gets rebooted, more and more common nowadays. And then you go and read it, and you kind of think you missed something because either something in the characters is off or the tone of the title. And I'm sure, like I said, as this becomes more and more common, it's just that the Hellboy method becomes more and more prevalent in comics. I'm sure it will be worked out, perfected. But this is just a way to drop all pretense, really. It's just a way for them to say, hey, you want to try a new book? You can try this one. It's brand new number one. You won't miss a damn thing. And then it's like, oh, well, there's a whole series before this. Like, yeah, but it's only like so-and-so issues. You can just pick it up and read it. And that's really all that is. It's them covering their bases from the consumer side so that they can keep telling the stories they want to tell. And this way, it's also much easier to get rid of a book they don't want sticking around. But like you said, there are always, you know, sort of instances that are exceptions to the rule, like Fantastic Four is still going with original numbering, I believe, and actually Peter David's X-Factor just ended, but that stuck through a couple of relaunches and reboots. That went up past 200 issues, I think, somewhere around there, and that went on for quite a while, and that was because it had an audience that was consistently reading it, and they stuck through it entirely, and I don't know what it was that made Marvel, of all things, keep X-Factor around, but it sort of speaks for itself when you see that, you know, certain books can make it through, but like you said, that's becoming less and less common nowadays. So where this goes from here, I can't say with absolute certainty, but I can say that for the time being, jumping on points and ongoing series are a thing of the past. This is the new jumping on point for new readers. This is their entry into the comic book world. And if it helps, I'm all for it, honestly. Like I said, I don't care. I'm a thinking human being. I can follow talent I like and characters I like to read about. I can follow that without really so much trouble. The thing you have to worry about is just if your characters get lost in the shuffle, that's what you got to do, which is why you got to go and you got to buy your books. That's the thing, because if you can't buy your books, then people don't know who's getting read where, and they cancel the book, and then they might not get another shot at it again. Now, I can't personally claim to know any of these comic book bootleggers, let's call them. I mean, I can think of a couple people.
Hey, Hail Hydra.
Right.
AIM. Anyway.
But yeah, that's really the biggest issue. This, you gotta buy the books you want. That's really all it is to it. If you do that, I feel like series will stand a better chance of making it through reboots and renumberings and stuff like that. And like it was said here, they'll go back to the original numbering eventually. It'll just take a minute, you know, because they're not about to completely abandon the franchises that made them what they are. No one's that stupid. But by the same token, they're not that smart either. So
I'm gonna say DC's living proof they're that stupid.
Well, I don't give it that long before they bring back the original Superman, Batman, renumber it, all that good stuff. I honestly don't put it past them. So we'll see what happens. But like I said, as of right now, I just cannot muster the energy to care.
Well, very heated, much more than I thought it would be. Anyways, let's get on to the comics. Okay, B-Rai, since you're through talking, I want you to talk more. Because I have recently converted to another X-Men title.
He's a convert. The infidel has converted. Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, that's not racist.
You realize they talk to me, right? They don't talk to you guys. They talk to me. And I have to hear that shit.
I know, that's
shit.
Why we do it.
God damn it. Now I know how Steve
I have to be politically correct every day, so if I can get it out every so often elsewhere, I got to do it.
I work in a federal office with a whole big mix of people, and I am never politically correct.
Yeah, they
don't. And speak, a whole lot of women too.
They probably don't speak. They probably don't speak jive either. Anyways,
no, they don't. Some of them speak straight up street, but fuck them. That's how I do it.
Brian, Uncanny X-Men number 12,
or Emma Frost to Seduction School. Let's dive in.
Yes. Emma Frost? Awesome.
Well, unfortunately, no. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, basically, the whole premise of this issue is after the Battle of the Atom, we see the sort of old new X-Men and the new X-Men sort of training at the Weapon X compound. And this issue puts a lot of focus on, what's his name? Mr. Deeds. Yes, Mr. Deeds. Now, Mr. Deeds, what he can do is he can shapeshift in, up until this point, it was subconscious. He would shapeshift into the person nearest to him. You know, it's a proximity thing. But Emma Frost sees potential in him. And so what she resolved to do is take him to Atlantic City and has him work out his ability by approaching people and sort of adapting a similar look that sort of lowers their defenses and lets him in to, you know, not putting them off, but sort of general conversation, that sort of thing. It's really, it's seduction school. She's teaching how to seduce people. Only it doesn't quite work out that way. But basically what it means is Mr. Deeds does a fantastic job, actually. Works his way all around Atlantic City like some sort of man whore. Does really, really well. Oh, and by the way, Emma Frost and Ileana Rasputin in short black miniskirts? Hell yes. Praise Jesus. Hell yes. Sorry about that. Anywho, so Emma Frost decides to put him to the next level of training. She has him hand deliver a letter inside of a building in the financial district, presumably of New York City, to a Mr. Timothy Dugan on the top floor. Mm-hmm. He does so with much success, actually. Yeah. He gets there, hands the letter off to Timothy Dugan, and the letter reads as thus. Someone in your organization is creating mutant-hunting sentinels and trying to kill my people. Stop them, or we are going to war. Yours truly, Scott Summers. And when Dugan reads this, all of a sudden, every S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in the building is on his ass, because it is, of course, as you predicted, yes, it's dumb Dugan. So, from that point on, it becomes sort of him getting arrested, then him getting broken out, which just takes about two pages or so. Actually, magic sort of teleports them away. But this is really just sort of the sort of coming into his own issue for Mr. Deeds, as far as his shapeshifting abilities go. It shows that he is able to now sort of control to a greater extent, utilize it And now we see where he can just kind of walk into S.H.I.E.L.D. buildings using a pretty face and get past Secretary and deliver a note to a high-ranking member of S.H.I.E.L.D. So really, this guy has Mystique potential under his belt. I'm going to go there. This guy has the ability to slip in and out, you know, no pun intended, of tightly guarded places.
For some Metal Gears.
Oh, shut up, Solid Snake. Motherfucking Solid Snake. Now, but yeah, I thought it was a great course. Ben, which is sort of a co-review, so why don't you put your two cents on it?
One, this is... Okay. One, Cyclops was... you know who you reminded me, Cyclops reminded me of in this issue? Was you ever seen Band of Brothers?
Yes.
You remember David Schwimmer's character?
Oh my god, yes.
He was, I can't remember his name, but it's exactly like that. Just that,
dude,
not nearly as bad, but, because you know he means well, but like, you're kind of, you know what, Cyclops, you are kind of a dick. But he's playing the drilling sergeant, but that's one of the things I thought of. But I really like the fact that, you know, it's not just the shape-shifting, but it's the pheromone is what is the true ability. That is what makes this kid interesting. You know, to see that, you know, he's not exactly the best at physical training, I thought it was a great examination looking. I love the cover. The cover is tells exactly what the story is about, you know, and you know, sort of Cyclops shoving him the fuck out of the way. but, you know, I really loved it, you know, and seeing Bachelor's art again, because he's been on this book for, what, this whole entire year? He's been only on this book for this
year.
There
have been gaps, but for the most part, yeah, he's done this almost entire series.
And I miss him, because, like, he was on Wolverine the X-Men, and he got pulled. I'm like, well, I miss you, Bachelor. Where have you been, buddy?
I know, I love his art.
And, you know, now he's back, and I'm sticking with this. I want to see, because I think this is the kid from the University of Texas, when All New X-Men came out a year ago, I think he is, I'm not sure, and I'm like, a kid named Benjamin from Austin, Texas. That's very meta. That is very, very meta. So,
I'm going to get destroyed by Ultron. End of story.
Yeah, well, that story never, I don't fucking know. That technically didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, it sort of got rewritten.
It did, and it didn't, technically, it does, whatever, okay, that's not, but I really enjoyed this issue, and I want to know more about the other kids. And all the other teenagers, that Australian chick, I want to know more about her, because I remember them from when they showed up in All New. So, and I just financial reasons, I didn't pick up the book because it was double shipping. I'm like, I can't do this. So we'll see how long I stick with this, but I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
So are you done?
Yeah, I believe so. For a rating, I'll give it a solid 4 out of 5. Kind of a light issue, not much going on. The main story of things is up until the very end, where it's sort of like, curveball, this happened. So, yeah, that was really about it. So I'll give it a solid 4 out of 5.
Okay, since Taser likes to point that I am the Latin that I am reviewing X-Men number 7. Brian Wood, no controversy at all saying that name in the past couple of days. This time, joined by new series artist Terry Dodson, who's always been a personal favorite of mine ever since I started reading comics all those years ago.
Terry Dodson does good work.
He's really good, and just in general, I love his like sort of like very bombastic style. Not bombastic, but it's just colorful. It's nice. It looks
great. Bombshell style, if I may.
So it looks this time we are introduced to, basically the story sums around, we are introduced to Ana Cortes, who is from Colombia.
You gotta put the little Latin flavor on every word you say. Is that what's happening here?
Well, you know what? I do that so naturally. It's not even funny. So we are introduced to Ana Cortes, who is apparently the new host body for Yuriko Oyama. Now, to play a little guessing game, who recognizes the name Yuriko Oyama?
Yuriko. It sounds like something Wolverine-related, if I'm not mistaken.
So apparently Yuriko Oyama is now basically inside. Her spirit is inside, and this new chick, Ana Cortes, is Lady Deathstrike. They are the one and the same person. The Lady Deathstrike persona, Yuriko, that's all one thing. And except now she's...
What?
Except now she's wearing a Dia de los Muertos mask. And she wants, and now, what?
Nothing.
I don't know what happened to Lady Deathstrike. I can't remember the last time I saw her, so I don't fucking know. So either way, she's back. She wants to steal Karima, who I remember very briefly. She is the, half mutant sentinel. She's like a mutant sentinel kind of thing. I don't know much about her. She is going after her. Meanwhile, we also have Monet, who is apparently the perfect princess, as stated by Jubilee, come to join the team, and shop, I can't remember her name, but her Karima, the human, the sort of sentinel, the Omega Sentinel, it's like implants, you know. Think Mass Effect fans, think L3, whatever they call them, the implants, think that. Yeah. Not the same thing, but whatever. Implants, breasts, boobs. So, we are joined by them, and she's basically, Beast is trying, Hank is trying to get her to, because she was comatose, she was stabbed psychically by Psylocke in issue 3, so they're trying to make sure everything's okay, nothing's wrong. They go out for a test, and in a really great sort of comedy bit, Ana Cortez, or Lady Deathstrike, is leading up to the academy. They're preparing for all these sort of like, okay, this is going to happen. It's the X-Men. It's calling with defenders, and not defenders, but X-Men and other defenses. And then all of a sudden they see Monet and Karima like run past, and it's like the comedy moment. Stop the car! Turn around! And nice little action sequence ensues. Very well done by Terry Dodson. Monet is shot. And we still get that. We get a little bit of that tension that Rachel and Storm have, so that's still a plot point. We also get what is it? And all what else happens? So basically, they're sort of discussing the plan of what do we do about it. You know, and Karima doesn't want to join the team. She doesn't want to be the new Bruiser, but something tells me she will be. We also get a little side point that that apparently you guys recognize this mutant. She kind of has like a she's silver. Her name's Mercury. She's silver.
Yeah, Cecily Kincaid.
Okay, is she a lesbian?
No, not explicitly stated anyway. She's never really had a major relationship, so it's sort of ambiguous.
Because apparently she's hinting that she likes Jubilee.
Wait. Mm. Huh?
Okay. Mm. She has...
No, you're thinking of the other girl. Cecily Kincaid is the one who she asked out, but then the other one says she likes Jubilee. I don't know who the one is you're talking about.
Oh, the one who's talking to Jubilee?
Yeah, that's okay. Not Mercury. That's another mutant. I forget what her
name
is.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm reading it wrong. Yeah, she asked... Okay, but apparently this chick, this silver chick, likes Jubilee. Or at least it's strongly implied. Also, Jubilee is officially the mother of Shogo, which is awesome.
Woo!
So good for
one less orphan in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Is a good
thing. Yeah. But here's the twist. So apparently, Lady Deathstrike Yuriko Ana Cortez has enlisted help by the form of Typhoid Mary.
Oh, God. Are you kidding?
Typhoid Mary's always fun.
So Typhoid, although it's hard to tell it's her because her hair is like the way the shadow is, it's more you see the blacks versus the strokes of red hair. So it's hard to tell. It was like, is that Typhoid? Then you see the fishnets and everything. Like, that's my girl. So Typhoid Mary looks like going to be in the thick and in league with Lady Deathstrike for other purposes than to steal Karima from the X-Men. So yeah, it wasn't a great issue. It was pretty good. I had fun. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how Monet fits in with it and the other team. And of course, that tension between Storm and Rachel's still there. So I'm still digging this book. You know, I'm kind of glad it's on its own and it's not. It doesn't really deal with Battle of the Atom after all, which is awesome, except for the fact that they don't address that Kitty's left. Well, they do, but it's like yeah, she's gone. Okay, what? Moving on next. So, yeah.
That's modern storytelling. Nice. You don't dwell on anything that happened in the past for too long, unless you can get, like, a 12-page mini out of it.
Well, that is being addressed in the other X-Men book, so that's I'll read it there. So, either way. She wasn't even technically a team. They were technically a team. They were just a squad.
It was just the women.
Yeah, it was just a squad of X-Men happened to be that time. So it's not really that big of a loss for Kitty to leave right away. You know, so either way, I give it a 3 out of 5. It was pretty good. It wasn't the best thing I read this week, but I had fun. I love the new Dia de los Muertos inspired look to Lady Deathstrike. It's really cool. The skull and everything, and I like women in black. I like black hair. I like black costumes.
You just like black.
I like black things, yes.
He likes black, yo. He likes black, yo.
Right. Hey, oddly enough, black. Not black women. Go figure.
Well, you know, if they stop giving me attitude every time I try to ask them for money.
Look, just because Mama Cass came to Best Buy and said, when y'all got them vacuum cleaners, I need one for little Leroy. You know, you're supposed to.
Wow.
You know,
be nice we are to definitely lady. Getting sued now.
No, it's okay. It's okay to taste the same because he's black. He can get away with that.
I'm just saying, look, when they come to you drinking the 40-ounce of grape soda.
And they have a watermelon in their cart.
Exactly, in the bucket of chicken.
Can I ask you something for real?
No.
Real talk?
Fine.
Where the hell does the watermelon stereotype come in? I don't get it.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you because I'm still trying to figure out.
Who the fuck doesn't like watermelon?
No, but like, you know, it's like, oh, black people, chicken and watermelon. What the f- I like watermelon.
And I like chicken.
Again, yeah, exactly.
I don't
know where that came from. I think it's just...
If you can give me, listeners out there, can give me a solid answer, I will give you a free copy of all new X-Men, Battle of the Atom, the complete...
It's people being ignorant. That's what that is.
That's right. I-G-nent.
Oh, I see how it is. All right. So let's go to you next.
Hey, wait. I answered your question. Do I get that issue now?
You have all of them already.
Yeah, I do. I know.
Sick fuck. Taser, let's go to you.
And Longshot saves the universe?
We already forgot about Longshot.
Who's Longshot again?
He's a cyborg with four fingers, Dazzler's ex-husband.
No, he's not a cyborg. He's a bioengineered being.
Whatever. It's the same difference,
Does he have metal gears?
He only has four fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He doesn't have a full hand.
Wow. That's interesting.
Oh, he's not supposed to.
Wow, I am totally amazed right now. Wow. That is really interesting stuff. Tell me more, please. I love to hear about this guy named Longshot. Please go on.
Well, I'll say this. I remember reading the Longshot, when Longshot's debut way back in the day. In the 80s. Yay.
Wow.
And it was actually fun, drawn by Arthur Adams. And Longshot's character was somewhat of a babe out of the crib, you know, out in the world. And, well, what's this? I don't know what's going on. And, you know, that stunt woman, Rocket Rita, or whatever hell her name was, you know, that he was fighting Mojo, and he gets, you know, dumped in this dimensional space, and, you know, him and Rita have adventures. They got to get back there because they're still fighting the fight, and blah, 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 blah. And it was a lot of fun, but Longshot was, like, somewhat super altruistic, you know, and you kind of got the feeling like that there was more going on, and he was a bit oblivious to a lot of stuff. He just, you know, he's just trying to do what's right because he's trying to, you know, help save whatever and stop Mojo, whatever. Well, that was the 80s. And we're now 2013, and, well, Longshot's been here a while. And I can only say... Longshot has certainly acclimated himself to life on this planet, thanks to Christopher Hastings. Yeah, this guy. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Huzzah.
Yay.
Because the world needed more Longshot.
Yeah, and I didn't read X-Factor, so I don't know how he came off in that, but that's not a book I had ever touched, so I don't know what he did in that. I don't know what his character was like there. Here, Longshot's getting a haircut. Now, okay, Longshot that I knew, he had a mullet, And, you know, I personally didn't have a problem with the mullet. Here, he's getting his hair styled. I mean, the first shot we have of him is he's, you know, in a stylist. Park Slope, Brooklyn. And
is that a stylist district in New York?
I guess so. And, you know, I'm looking at all of the other people here, and all I can just say is, hey, how are you doing? You know, so that kind of tells you what I'm looking
it
at.
It sounds like this. I miss Arnold. I feel like he would have this down.
And, you know, long shots.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Holy shit. It's coming right for us.
Holy crap.
We know you. We knew you were going, dude. Don't worry about it. So, yeah. Long shots getting his hair cut, and I gotta say this, he looks like a douchebag. You know, he's kind of, what's that word? Hipster. He's kind of hipster.
Oh no, he's got a hipster.
He's got the pork chop sideburns, and he's got like the shaved sides, and his hair, you know, moose back or whatever.
Does he wear a fedora?
No, he doesn't do that.
Does he wear eyeglasses?
No, thankfully not.
Damn,
but he is in a place where, well, yeah, they do that. So, suffice to say, Longshot has changed his look, and Longshot also being a good-looking guy, he just looks more good-lookinger, I guess. And because he has the ability that he has, he can't pay for it, and the guy's like, oh, don't worry, it was a public service just to make that beautiful face even more beautifuler.
Wait. Okay. Wait, this is Longshot is being Metro Takeoff, Metro,
yeah.
Metrosexuality.
Sexual, yes.
Uh-huh. Takeoff Sexuality, at Plex, Metroplex. Holy shit, Metroplex is Longshot.
There you go. But, long shot, you know, change the look, but whatever. So anyway, the meat of the story is basically some character who reminds me of the In-Betweener. Raise your hands if you know who the In-Betweener is. I don't see anybody.
Cousin?
No. Oh my God! You guys don't know who the In-Betweener is? Holy shit! Okay, cosmic character. He's supposed to be the agent of Lord Order and Master Chaos, and he seeks the balance. Okay, long time ago.
What is he? The Witchblade?
No. He's a person, and he's half black, half white, all over. Just kind of half black, half white.
What is he? Roddy Piper, circa 1992.
Yes, that's actually a very good one. He is the balancing agent for the universe. And this newer version, I'd say he's a bit more dapper. Really, I'm kind of struggling for words here because it's kind of hard to describe him. He's more decked out to the nines rather than looking pseudo-futuristic. He's more contemporary with the necktie, but everything about him says black, white, black, white, black, white. Okay, so you kind of get the idea, except for the horns. Anyway, he's been going around lately killing people who suffer great windfalls of luck looking for Longshot. Think about that. If you have something good happen to you, like, hey, I found a lucky penny, he comes in and kills you and then goes, oh, damn, it's not you, but I'm getting closer. So there's been a string of deaths coming from
up.
Yeah, very much so, over the past 2 weeks, too. From leading from upstate New York, heading down towards New York City. And the first victim we see here is a guy who actually wins a scratch-off, and he just pops up there and says, hey, that's incredibly lucky of you, Dad.
Fuck, that's a flawed method. That is an incredibly flawed method.
And he walks out. Meanwhile, Reed and Tony are in Avengers Tower. Why does everything have to have Avengers Tower in it?
Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, thank you. That actually makes sense too, believe it or not. But yeah, so in the fuck me, and this one is Reed and Tony in Avengers Tower, and Reed apparently had found something in the Met that he wouldn't have seen otherwise, but he left his, and where was it? He left his cosmic vibration sensitive contacts in.
What?
And they're kind of pulling a Pulp Fiction here. He's showing you something in a briefcase, and
oh, they really? They're doing it? They're doing the...
But
the
they do it here, but we do find out what it is later on, but how they pull it off just said Pulp Fiction to me, you know? And they don't actually say what it is. It's just a knife. You found this there? Really? I can't believe that. Blah, 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 blah. So they're coming up with... a way to get this out of the city and dispose of it before, you know, some bad guy finds out about it. Because apparently, and as we find out, yeah, very much so, it's a very big bad thing. Okay, and yes, we need to move this someplace safe. And most of the, and like I said, most of the issue is, you know, Longshot going around and, you know, he gets free things and he catches wind that there's been all of these lucky deaths headed down towards his general location. And he's like, oh, really? All these people suffering, you know, great bouts of luck in some way, shape, or form, and then they get killed. I hope this doesn't lead to me. And, of course, because Longshot is kind of played as somewhat of a neophyte here, along with the new Do, he recognizes that, you know, I have this ability. And it's never been... To me, it's never been something that Longshot did, which was talk about his luck. You know, here he does that a whole lot. And he mentions that maybe I should wish if something lucky would happen. But no, I can't wish for that. But boy, I sure am, you know, hungry. And he's right by this food truck. And then there's this big explosion. And, of course, there's money. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But he gets – his conscience gets at him. So he dives in to go see what made the explosion. And you find out it's these guys that were trying to rob the scientist who didn't want to keep his money in some place. Yeah. Well, this just so happened that because Longshot had wished for the money, well, he wished for the hot dog, and the thing blew up, and it had the money, and it had the big windfall and everything else like that. That's what led Checkerboard, I guess, because I really don't know what to call him, and he doesn't actually give his name. It leads him right to Longshot, and nobody else sees Checkerboard but Longshot and... Okay. At what point did I stop?
Talk about him explaining his luck, I think was where you last left off.
Okay.
Sort of goes in depth about it.
Yeah, he explains his luck way too much in this book, and I understand that that's the writer trying to help the reader who might not know anything about Longshot, you know, understand what goes on here, but it just seems so self-absorbed. You know, I think that it's never been my opinion that you have to explain everything that happens just because somebody out there might not know. People catch up. That's how I look at things. But suffice to say, the black and white guy, I'll call him Checkerboard, he catches up to Longshot. He wants to execute him, and his reason for doing so is that, well, Longshot, because of his abilities, has put the universe out of balance, which is kind of valid when you see some of the stuff that Longshot has done through his existence. I can understand that. The scientists whose safe have blown up to get Longshot the money actually apparently has a pair of those cosmic vibration lenses that Reed mentioned and sees Checkerboard and takes offense to him trying to kill Longshot. So he runs outside with this blaster of sorts and takes a shot at the guy, the thing, the it, whoever. And wouldn't you just know it, Reed and Tony happen to be coming by in their truck with whatever it is that they were hauling, and he hits Reed. So Reed loses control of his form, which means he expands and he pushes Tony out of the cab of the truck. And he pushes Tony out, and he also blows up when Tony gets pushed out, he blows up the cab of the truck, which causes the rear end of it to blow up, which causes the suitcase to shoot out, which also lands right in front of Longshot with the case open, and we see inside was a cosmic cube.
No.
Yes.
No fucking way.
Longshot gets his hands on a cosmic cube.
Why would you give someone that pathetic that level of power? He couldn't even hold on to Dazzler, and she was a disco queen.
Ah. You know what? Dazzler was awesome, but she had issues. But, yeah, suffice to say, and you wouldn't believe me if I told you, but the truck blows up. Tony's got some new kind of nano cotton thing, which is his armor changed into normal clothing, but it could turn back into armor. But, of course, because when he got knocked out of the cab, he hit a fire hydrant, which cracked open. Now I'm thinking, any human body that hits a fire hydrant, that's a broken human body. But that doesn't happen here. He cracks the fire hydrant, which rains up, comes down on Tony, who's trying to shift into armor mode. But because it's cotton, it absorbs the water, so it shorts out. And the case, when it landed, it actually cracked open, and the cube popped right into Longshot's hands. So, Reed and Tony both tell Longshot, don't do anything. The cube is unstable. It could destroy the planet. Longshot doesn't hear this, and he's oblivious. Checkerboard is like, don't be selfish. Release the cube. Surrender yourself to me. You have to die. And Longshot is like, hey, look, why don't you just do me a favor? Get lost. You fool! Swah! And then we're kind of back at the beginning where we saw Longshot getting the haircut. And he's making his way out and about doing whatever. But he gets to the point where he would have encountered the truck and being hungry. But instead of that happening, events play out differently. You know, we see the guys who had caused the safe explosion that gave Rain the money down, they're being kicked out of the apartment building that they had been in. And he thinks about, you know, Taco Bell. It wasn't a little luck, you know, that couldn't hurt right now. And all of a sudden these guys come down on, you know, zip lines and some dude tells him, you're giving off a magical aura and are an unregistered sorcerer in this or multidimensional being, blah, blah, blah. We have to kill you. And he's like, duh.
Well, that's a bit of a harsh reaction.
Yeah. And, you know, he, you know, backs up and he touches something. You know, Longshot has that whole psychometry thing where he could pick up impressions and things. And
yeah, psychometry?
Yep.
Wow.
I guess they didn't do a whole lot of that in X Factor, huh?
No, not.
Yeah,
not
no, really. He had that. He had that originally. But he gets it here, and he sees the events that happened originally. And he's like, well, wait a minute, what's going on? And Reed and Tony are nowhere near there. You know, they're back in Avengers Tower or whatever. They're doing something different, you know. So, yeah. And he doesn't have the Cosmic Cube, apparently. So he's about to get shot, and that's where the book ends. I can honestly say this book was fun. It was funny, rather. Now, I can't say fun. It was funny because they really play Longshot comedic here. You know, he's a bit of a bit whimsical, a bit narcissistic. Not my favorite version of him, but the story is actually kind of interesting. I mean, it's got a cosmic cube involved. So, yeah, you know, it's got cosmic stuff. So okay, I'm there. it's not bad though. It's not a bad read. So I
just want to see if it's like after the series is over, it's like Marvel Comics event presents We're Fucked starring Longshot. We tried.
Hey, you never know. They just might, but it's a solid read. I can actually recommend it. It's a solid read. So I would give this. I would actually give this 4 Warriors out of 5. You know, I didn't hate it. I liked it, and I actually liked this book.
Well then, fucking
well then.
Last but not least, Jonathan, with another the wonderful little 2-issue miniseries that are coming out, Punisher, the Trial of the Punisher, which Dave and I both love the first issue, but
actually yes,
but did the second issue, Jonathan, live up to the expectations of the first issue?
He muted himself.
Oh.
All right, and next up, John has Trial of the Punisher, number 2. Take it away, John.
Pitfall.
It's pretty interesting. I went ahead and picked up the first issue on the recommendation. Pickled, yes. I pickled the first issue on the recommendation of you guys, and I enjoyed it and thought it was pretty good. And I was like, yeah, Punisher's got some up his sleeve. And you find out in this issue that, you know, surprise, surprise, he does. He convinces his defense attorney to go ahead and show that to keep his trial going. And delay it and delay it and delay it by saying he's insane or prove that he's insane, which we all know he's not. I mean, well, he is, but he's not. And, and people are all like going, why do you want to keep doing this? And Punisher's just like, just do it. And you go back and forth and you find out that, you know, the defense attorney kind of sort of has a clue that the Punisher might be up to something, but I guess is going to go ahead and let him, you know, play the game out. And in order to show that he is clinically insane or whatever, she calls in Matt Murdock, in obviously his public identity, to accept his previous dealings with him as an attorney.
Interesting. I didn't know Matt Murdock was in this series.
So he's not really insane, as he just has a, you know, that kind of thing. And things play out, and between him, the DA, and all that. And then you finally find out that it gets to the day that the Punisher wanted. So the Punisher manages to break out of the courtroom, goes to another courtroom, and guns down this gentleman who was in another courtroom talking to people, and apparently he was under federal witness protection, and he was a person that got away from the Punisher previously. I guess he was like a child molester and managed to get away and survive the Punisher the first time because the Punisher didn't get a hold of him. And apparently you find out that he was, since he had, you know, evidence against these bigger fish to fry, he got put into federal witness protection, had his name changed and all that, and of course Frank, using his connections and figuring things out, was able to figure out when he was going to be at the courthouse. So the entire whole thing of him, you know, allowing himself to, you know, admit to murder and all that, yes, he did kill the guy, but the guy was crooked. So he did kill him, and then he turned himself in just all for to get a shot at this guy. It ends with him, at the end of the issue, shooting the guy point blank and then leaving. And, you know, in traditional Punisher, you know, style. And I was like, I'm sure glad that they only did a 2-issue one, because if they tried to stretch this out into a, you know, more than that, I would have been like, really? That's all you're gonna? That's all he was doing? And it was a very entertaining read. Mark Guggenheim kind of allows you to see the legal procedures that would be done in the Marvel Universe, which obviously can be a little screwball because, you know, you've got people with superpowers and are batshit crazy, that kind of thing, fighting each other wearing masks and all that. And it was kind of cool to see that side of things and seeing how they would try to prove whether or not Frank was nuts or allow him to give a certain testimony and that kind of thing. And it was nice to see Frank, you know, one-upping people again, you know, maybe not on the level of, we'll say, what he did in the Greg Rucka stuff where he basically outsmarted the Avengers, in one setting. But it was nice to see this. It was good old-fashioned Punisher showing that he had a target he wanted to take out and the lengths that he was willing to go to take the person out. And I give it a 4-star. I mean, I can't give it 5 because it did have its problems, you know. But that's because it's a 2-issue limited series, and it sounds like it's not as good as the one that Taser had just read. But it was entertaining in its own fashion, and it makes me look forward to that new series when it comes out. And I wouldn't mind seeing Guggenheim take another crack at him, and I loved the art. I can't remember the gentleman's name at the moment, but the art was pretty good, and it really suited the Punisher. So 4 out of 5, and I highly recommend picking up. It's only 2 issues. If you like the Punisher, you're going to really like it. And if you have somebody that's not into the Punisher but might be interested in what he might do, I would highly recommend this 2 issues for people to read, because it's a good way to introduce how Frank does things and how methodical he will get to doing what he wants to get done. And there you go.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will conclude tonight's episode. So, obviously, Thanksgiving is this Thursday. If you are going anywhere to visit family, be careful, especially if you're in the Midwest area. Apparently, there's a nasty snow cold front coming through.
Yeah, I think we're calling it a nor'easter over on our end.
Yeah, it's fucking cold, man.
It's really cold.
It's cold here too. Not like 50 degrees. It was in the low 40s and in the 30s earlier today in the afternoon. So it's cold. I can only imagine how cold it is for John up in Oklahoma.
It's freezing my butt off up here.
So if you're traveling, be careful. From the Mighty Warriors 3 here, have a happy Thanksgiving and eat all the turkey you want. And stay the fuck home from Black Friday, you assholes.
Because we care.
And I'm working, so don't bring me any more business than necessary.
How? You work at a fucking...
No, I work at a retail store now.
Uh-oh, brother. Brother. I feel your pain.
I feel like we're like those fucking, like, 300 Spartans where just, like, the army's charging us. It's like
well,
Spartans!
Well, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
I would love to be, like, a deleted... like, to Photoshop me in there and look for the next Spartan and, like, well, we're gonna die.
Well, we're bold.
That's our new, listeners contest. Anybody who can do a nice rendition of Iggy... with, like, you know, the six-pack abs and the freaking Greek sword, you know, taking out Persian soldiers. There you go.
If you do that, you will get not only the entire run of Cable and X-Force, all of it, all...
It's a damn good run, if I do say so myself.
You will also...
Yeah, he'll just get it to you in trade.
No, I'll give them the digital codes for it. I'm not buying people shit for them. Fuck that.
Just kidding. Love you.
You will get the Cable and X-Force the entire issue if you can do that. So there you go. Do that and successfully post it, and I will give you the entire run of Cable and X-Force. So yeah,
Make sure you give him the six-pack abs, though. He's got to have that because all of them did.
Yes. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a happy Thanksgiving. We will see y'all next week for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Peace!
Kisses, hugs, and belly rubs.
Just gets better. I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far. I can't go back to where I used to be. Every turn a surprise.
With new horizons to pursue. I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare. Let me share this whole new